Hebrews chapter number 4. I was thinking, and I left it out of the morning message. When I was coming up, more so in the bigger cities than in the smaller ones, people paid for protection. In the bigger cities, and of course you immediately think of New York and places where the mafia was around, but what they did was, is they came to you, and in effect, you know what they said? Trick or treat. You either pay us, or we're going to do something to you. Now, when I was coming up, that was called, I guess it's still called, extortion. Yeah. Blackmail. You either do what we tell you to do, or we're going to do something bad to you. Did you ever think that when you tell your kid to go to somebody's house and say trick or treat, you're encouraging extortion? Because you know what you're teaching the kid? Laugh if you want. You're saying, you either give me candy, or in my day, soap the windows or roll it with toilet paper. Nowadays, it gets way out with graffiti and busting tires and busting glass and all those other things. I'm just saying that you're living in a day and time where the modern world has overtaken the church and where we're expected to just turn a blind eye to those things. I recognize very clearly that it takes grace to be able to endure some of the things that we as Christians are asked to endure. I want to ask you this question as I begin the passage this morning. When was the last time you prayed for God to give you the grace that you needed to obtain the mercy you needed in order to deal with a few things I'm going to show you this morning? Look, if you will, Hebrews chapter number 4, pick it up, if you will, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brother Larry, ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. Amen. If I could give you, thank you, can be seated. If I could give you something that I can assure you will help you get through whatever you're going through, would you be willing to listen to me? Amen. If I could tell you that sometimes when difficulty is on the horizon, we don't do the one thing that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13. He said, examine yourself. Sometimes trouble comes our way. As a matter of fact, according to what he says in Job, the Bible says that all of us, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Nobody in here that trouble has not touched. Nobody in here that problems haven't come along. But you know what? Oftentimes we don't take the time to pull over and examine ourselves to see whether or not the problem might be us. We're pretty good about making sure that we, when we talk about things, instead of saying, Lord, give me the grace to do something I don't want to do, but it's right to do, instead of praying and asking God for help, we generally turn our gripes to somebody at the church, something going on in the government, something that's going on in school, and whatever else it might be. Because all of a sudden, instead of saying, you know what, maybe I should just ask God to give me grace. When was the last time you checked to see how full your grace bucket was? When was the last time you prayed for rain because the ground was dry, or for gasoline because you were on E and you should have stopped and got it, but you didn't get it and you thought, I'll get it the next day, and you drive by and the station's closed and the bags are over the pumps and you're thinking to yourself, man, Lord, I got to get to work and I got to get the kids to school and I got things to go do and places to see and all this stuff, and Lord, could you help me to get by on fumes? When was the last time that you're driving on a set of Maypops and you're praying, Lord, I hear the tire leaking down right now now. Can you please get me to the gas time? When was the last time that you prayed and said, God, give me grace to deal with my wayward children? When was the last time you prayed and asked God to help you to get along with a wife or a husband that's not doing like you would like for him to do? I didn't say pray that God would change them. I said, when was the last time you prayed and asked God to give you the grace and to give them and show them the mercy? Amen. When was the last time you said, God, you know what? I need a helping of grace. I need to come to you boldly and I need to recognize that when I'm in a mess, I need to pray and say, God, first thing I need to do is I need grace in a time of need. We get so careless with that thing called grace. So this morning, if you'll allow me just a few minutes, if you would please, I want to just give us a little bit of a checkup. I go to the doctor every now and then and they do a checkup. They call it a wellness check. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't like to go to the doctor because then you find out you have something you didn't know you had. Now you got to deal with it, right? So I don't want to go to the doctor. But then things aren't clicking along and it's more than just old age. And so you go to the doctor and the doctor goes, yeah, you got the epizoolus. And you're like, okay, what do I do for that? And they give you this long prescription of things that you got to do, but you know, it's curable as long as you do something with that. But too often, instead of going there and saying, Lord, give me the grace and I need to go see the doctor because I got a problem. It's, Lord, they got a problem. He has a problem. Last time you had a problem, did you pray or did you gripe? Did you complain about the government or who's in the White House? Or did you complain about whether somebody did or didn't do what you thought? Or did you pray? Did you say, Lord, you know, this person is very difficult to deal with. Did you pray and ask God to say, Lord, could you just give me grace? I'm not asking you to smack them. Could you just help me deal with them? If you've been married any amount of time at all, you know what you better learn to do? You better learn to pray for grace. You're not always right, ma'am or sir. And at times when you're living together, you know what you have to have? You have to have grace to put up with some knot-headed kids. Kids can do stupid stuff just like you did when you were a kid. Last time you lost your job, you got fired, you got laid off, and you weren't getting along with people. Did you pray and say, God, could you give me grace to get through this dry spell? Could it be possibly that the Lord is allowing things to occur in your life to show you that the grace bucket has begun to run a little bit low? And it's been a while since you said, Lord, you know what? You said for me to come boldly, not pray for a new car, not pray for a new house, not pray for a new wife or a new husband, not pray for a new job, not pray. Lord, you told me to pray for grace that I might obtain mercy.
Yeah.
When was the last time you prayed for grace? I pray for grace, but that's not the grace. The grace I'm talking about is something that supernaturally comes. I want you to listen to me. It supernaturally comes from God. We're oftentimes disobedient Christians. When was the last time? Look, if you will, please, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. When was the last time, if you're growing in grace, when was the last time that you thanked God for disappointment? He says in 2 Timothy 4, giving instruction here to the young preacher about preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and so on and so forth. But then what he says there in verse number 5, he said, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. Paul says, now I'm ready to be offered. You know what he just said? He said, listen, endure afflictions. He doesn't say that afflictions, you're going to be absent from the afflictions. You know what he said? He said, pray for the grace in order to endure the afflictions. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, he said, I glory in tribulation. Don't tell me that Paul did not pray for grace to endure the thorn that was in his flesh that required him to be put down so that he would not be exalted above measure. And Paul says his attitude toward it is something we can learn from. Paul prayed for grace to be able to do it because Paul says, for when I'm weak, then he is strong. When was the last time, instead of praying for a raise, a healthy child, a new car, to make the team or not, did you thank God for bad things? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, you know what he says? Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All things. Can you thank God for the death that occurred that was untimely? Can you thank God for the trouble that comes when Christians don't grow enough in grace to be able to endure the trouble? I'm not making fun or mocking of you. Are we always in too big of a hurry that all we do is complain and gripe and murmur as opposed to saying, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace, Lord, to deal with individuals that are hard to deal with. I'll make sure that I look at everyone because nobody wants to be singled out. But the fact of the matter is at some point in time, every one of us is going to be a hemorrhoid to somebody. And at some point in time, you can't ever rise to the level that you don't irritate somebody. And on top of that, there is not a time that you're not going to become irritated with people. But instead of saying, Lord, would you get rid of that irritant, would it be an opportunity to say, Lord, give me grace. Help me in a time of need to be pleasing to you, to not ruin my testimony. Should I not be willing to look in that glass in the Bible and say, Lord, I'm beholding my face in a mirror. James chapter number 1 says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, from glory to glory. When I look in the Bible, you know what I should be doing? I should be looking to see Him. When's the last time, if you're growing in grace, that you read the Bible and instead of looking for a message or a sermon, instead of looking for the answer to a question, when was the last time you said, Lord, could you just show me you, whatever it is? Speak to me. If it's a rebuke, if it's a hard thing, if it's a harsh thing, or if it's a blessing, I just want to hear from you. Amen. When was the last time you had the grace to receive what He pointed out about you? You know, we're funny. Because all of us are selfish to some degree. And I would even say you're living in a society that has become obsessed with narcissism. You're being taught that you're the center of the universe. It's not just being taught in elementary school. It's all over social media. You are everything by however many people are following you. You are the cream of the crop. You're the head of the class. Boy, you have a group of people and you're the Madonna of the whole nine yards. You've got Shekinah glory behind you. And when was the last time you said, Lord, what do you think of me? How's my life compared to you? When was the last time you picked up your Bible and you looked on the other side and you saw Jesus and you said, wow, I am not like Him at all. I'm not for the WWJD thing and that kind of a deal, but I am for you beholding your face in that mirror of God's Word and saying, Lord, show me where I fall short. Show me where I err. Show me. I cannot imagine in my wildest imagination the amount of grace that the Lord Himself had to have to walk among His creation that He made to listen to their foolishness and then turn against Him on top of that and nail Him to a cross. He had to be saying, give me grace, give me grace, give me grace. I'm going to knock them out, John, man. Give me grace. These people are acting like fools. They're acting stupid. I don't know who they think they're talking to. Man, can you imagine tempted in all points? People say, oh, it must have been to drink or smoke or some sexual sin. No, that's not what gets you, folks. You know what gets you? Somebody's talking out of turn. Somebody is thinking of themselves more highly than they ought, and somebody's trying to lord themselves over you, and the Lord's saying to you, you need to have grace, you need to have grace, and you're like, oh no. That idiot ain't gonna tell me what to do. If you're married, you felt that way every now and then, ladies. Amen? Miss Barbara's husband has passed away, and she's the only one amening. Amen, ladies? Amen. The Lord tells you to be in subjection to your own husbands. And then He says and does something stupid. Before you shoot your mouth off, could I suggest something to you? Could you say, Lord, give me grace? Because He's going to need mercy in a minute. Lord, could you give me grace? Because I'm going to kill him. You ever want to check somebody's spiritual temperature? You watch them going through trouble and you say to them, hey, when was the last time that you thanked God for the disappointment in your life? Let me hear you say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the surgery and the lost job and praise the Lord that things didn't go like I thought they would go. You know, the Bible does say to do that. Just a real quick illustration, and I'm certainly not the poster child for it. I never really grasped the importance of that. We had a doctor that we went to, and he's up north, and we would go in there, and every time we would go in there, when we were being treated for some stuff, every time we would go in there, he'd say, now, after we get done with all the stuff and gave you the list of everything to do and that kind of deal, he'd say, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You know what the prayer I'm expecting to hear is, and Lord, give us healing, and Lord, help us to get well, and Lord, help us to do whatever. You know what he would say? Lord, we want to say thank you for this disease, and thank you for this trouble, and thank you for this cancer, and we sure do appreciate that of all the people you could have given it to, you gave it to us. And Lord, we're asking for the grace to be able to get through whatever it is that you see fit to allow us to have. And I'm thinking, I don't feel that way. Don't be praying for me. But then I started recognizing, you know what? The Lord said you should be thankful in all things. And I began to realize the power in gratitude, the power in thankfulness. The power is not when everything is going good. Everybody says thank you for that. The power is in when the disappointments come, the discouragement comes, the depression comes, and saying thank God for the juniper tree, and thank God for the trouble. Thank God that I got dismissed out of their presence and they don't want anything to do with me. Thank God for trouble in my life. But you got to pray for grace.
Amen.
That's hard. You have friends going through things. You have to pray for grace because sometimes unsolicited advice is not heeded. I've seen people go through trouble and they pray for everything except them being in trouble. It's so aggravating. They pray for the nation. They pray for the church. They pray for the people. They pray for prosperity. They pray for all kind of stuff. It's like, hey, could you just pray for yourself? Ask God to give you grace.
Amen.
What I hear on the lips of carnal Christians today is I don't want to. That's Southern for I ain't doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get up some mornings at 4:30. And catch a plane. And travel. But I know I got to ask God, give me grace. You say, why? Might have been on the phone till 2 in the morning. Didn't get my nap out. Sometimes Sunday morning rolls around and as excited as I am about preaching, I'm like, maybe just 20 more minutes. You say, what do you do, preacher? You know, well, it's just self-discipline. Lord, give me grace. Give me grace, Lord, because right now my body, it wants to lay down. It wants to take a nap. It wants to go to sleep. My brain does not want to go back over those notes. My mind is starting to talk to itself. And here's the bad part. It's answering itself. It's going, didn't you go over that for several hours yesterday? Yes, you did. Don't you know it well enough you could almost do it without notes? Yes, I probably could do that. Well, don't you think that you'd need to get the rest and that your physical body should be able to rest and to be able to get some sleep? Well, you know what? That sounds really good to me. And the Lord says, you better get your hind end up, boy. You know what I have to do? I have to pray for grace for God to give me the character to do things I don't want to do. Are you hearing me? It is not discipline. It is God, give me the grace to do what I don't want to do naturally. I need supernatural intervention. You want God to be real in your life? Let God intervene with His grace so that you can have the mercy to do what He wants you to do, whether you want to do it or not.
Amen.
I don't want to go to church. Ask for grace.
Yes. Amen.
I don't want to preach. Ask for grace. I don't want to get along with other people. Ask for grace.
Amen.
Have you grown in grace? Are you growing in grace? I have these notes that are written down here. When was the last time you asked God, listen carefully, to help you love somebody that's unlovable?
Amen.
Not the lovable ones. Who can't love Miss Pat? Who can't love Miss Barbara? Who can't love the preacher? See, I got you going this way, and then it's like, now you got a crick in your neck. Pray for grace. You know, the fact of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are times that even though you are among people that believe like you believe, they're hard to love. Am I telling the truth? Brother Brad, can I get a witness?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's like a guaranteed go-to. If you say, yeah, amen, whatever he says, sure. Not all Christians are lovable. You weren't always lovable. You may be lovable as a teddy bear now, but that's after God's kind of whittled on you, worked on you, sent some people by your way, sanded up against you, just irritated you to no end, and you're like, God, get rid of them. I will as soon as they're done smoothing you out. You ever wonder why so much sandpaper in the church today? Because there's a lot of rough edges. There's a lot of squares that need to be put into a round hole. There's a lot of people that need to be conformed to the image of Christ. And in order for Him to do that, it requires friction. It requires Him, like if I had a glass and a bowl of Play-Doh, to shove it down in there and let all that other stuff fall to the wayside. All of you are not going to fit into the image of Christ. You have to allow Him to cut away. You need grace. You say, why? Well, that's just who I am. Let me ask you this. Do you have grace for people who have fallen, or do you wish they fall? Do you wish your enemy that's a saved person would fall or die because they irritate you? No matter whether it was a bad testimony about the Lord or not. But because they're your enemy, do you wish they'd mess up so you could go, I told you so. Can I ask you a question just out of curiosity? When was the last time you knew the truth about something and you did not speak it, even though you could, because the Lord said, hey, you don't need to be telling them that. But they're your enemy and you know the inside scoop. When was the last time, for the Lord's sake, you kept your mouth shut? And you didn't share everything you knew about everybody. I saw a mother one time in a conversation that was not at this church, so I don't want you to immediately begin to try to figure out who I'm talking about. It was out west. And they had asked if they could speak with me. The pastor said, it's fine. And they came in, and literally, before I could even say hello, the mother just, like, said some unbelievably harsh things. And to be honest with you, there was a lot of it that for me to help her, I didn't even need to know. But it was done for the purpose of the mother extricating herself, removing herself and saying, see, this isn't my fault. I've been the perfect mother. I've been wonderful. I've been marvelous and outstanding. If there was ever a golden crown given for motherhood, it would certainly be to me. But it was at the expense of that daughter that needed help. And the mother just needed enough grace to say, hey, preacher, can you help her? Oh no, mom got to step in, grab the spotlight. Now I'm talking to a girl I have never met before. And I know all this stuff about him. I wasn't shocked. I came up around the streets from how I used to do what I did. I wasn't like, oh my God, you're beyond help. I don't even know what to do and all that. But boy, did I see that countenance change. An amazing thing. And I didn't even go where I'm at now. I said, well, ma'am, if I could please make a suggestion to you, I'll be more than happy to talk with your daughter. But now that you've told me all the things that are bad, could you just tell me anything she's done good? Do you have anything to brag on your daughter about? She hadn't always been this way. You say, what did it do? I'm not being smart when I say it literally shut her mouth. Because she then recognized, you know what? I'm part of the problem. She won't talk to me. Wonder why. Because she knows if she tells you anything, you're going to go tell everybody or put it on social media. Pray for my daughter. She's the prodigal daughter. They have sons in there, but she's a daughter. She's out in the world. You think that girl wants to come back to church? To let everybody in that church know where she's been, what she's done. I don't know about you. Maybe you're different than I am. You want your life put up here in front of everybody? Will you feel welcome to come back in now that everybody knows your foolishness? I'm saying you got to pray for grace. I'll just, all the amens just like went. We got kids. Another name for kids, pinheads. Amen. Idiots. Stupid. Sometimes, but not all the time. And sometimes in the process of their growing, they make mistakes. Yes, they sin. But they can find grace. And they can find mercy in the house of God unless you fix it where they don't want to come because it's like they everybody knows. No, they should be like, nobody knows and they don't need to know. Will you stay with me for just a minute? I want to try to help you. Do you wish others would fall? You're not very gracious. You say, why? Because you're thinking about yourself and your reputation instead of your Redeemer and His reputation. Amen. It does no good when any Christian of any denomination that is truly saved falls. It does not help the cause of Christ and it doesn't make those of us who haven't yet fallen look any better. It's not a good thing. We shouldn't be parading it around. And did you hear about brother so-and-so? And what I do now? A large portion of my time is on the phone. Dealing with a lot of different people, not just from here. And I am sad to say that preachers, as well as preachers' wives, deacons, deacons' wives, trustees, trustees' wives, choir members, organists, piano players, orchestra members, Sunday school teachers, everybody that is in any capacity, they mess up. But then instead of giving God a chance to show them some grace and mercy, we make it almost impossible for them to find their way back to the very thing that they need. Because we haven't asked God to give us grace. Do we wish they'd fall? Do you rejoice when they do fall? Are you glad when they fall? Does it trip your trigger on the inside? Like, yeah. Does it make you feel like you walked away from a battle and because you walked away and they got killed that it makes you battle hardened or worthy of praise or something because you got away or didn't? Can I just say, because their sin got me made public and God's just been gracious not to make yours public? If He splattered what's in your brain all the time up on the wall, there is nobody in here, not a soul in here, not a person in here that is not guilty of being saved and being sinners. Amen. Every one of us! Bitterness, anger, wrath, guilt, grief, we're all guilty! Amen. If you're taking notes, number three, do you enjoy retelling their story? Do you like telling the story about the one that got in trouble? Just because it's like, I tried to tell them. Tried to warn them. I'm talking about praying for grace that God help you love people that are unlovable people. The very people they should be coming to when they're in trouble. Brother Sam, I'm broken. I'm tore up. I messed up. Good, come on in. Let's talk about it. Let's pray. Amen. Well, Brother Sam, you need to know. I don't need to know everything. I just need to know. Let's go talk to Jesus. Amen. Not, you know, well, Brother Sam, now that you know everything, you know, now Brother Sam's in a position. Well, you know, now that you brought all that up, you can't get that out of your mind. Yeah. It's better that you don't know. Here's the big question. Do you pray for the grace to pray for your enemies? That gives me the dry heaves. It's not natural for me. I'm just saying it's not natural for me to pray for people that despise me or hate me, and even worse, ones that hate me because they don't even know me. They just make accusations about me and I don't even get a chance to present my side of it. And the Lord said, pray for them that despitefully you. This is thankworthy. When you're getting hammered for doing right, I'm going to thank you for that. It's like cream spinach. Yeah, this is, I've got the same face. It's like, that just sounds, it's just, you look at it, it's like somebody chewed that and spit it out and put it in a dish. and call it cream spinach. Come on, Brother Dale. I know you're on drugs, but you can say amen. Brother Dale's over here going, yeah, man, this is great. He's like, preach, preacher, that's sir, amen. I've gotten more reaction out of you since surgery. You're afraid I'm going to hit that shoulder. Miranda would slap me, or I might, just to get a, ow, glory. Praying for my enemies? Whew. That's not natural to me in my flesh. Now watch the transition, okay? So you'll understand, those of you that are visiting, I'm not always this crazy. Sometimes a little worse. But listen to me. It works against your flesh. Is that right? It ain't normal when somebody spits on you to pray for them. Right? It ain't normal for you when they smack you on one side of the head, you go ahead and hit me again. Right? That's not normal. Then is it a fair statement, and could I take this into court with me for those that are attorneys? There's one here. Where's Lynette? Could I take this into court? Is it fair then to say we need grace to help us to do something that we wouldn't naturally do? Brother Jerry, I can't pray for my enemies if God doesn't give me grace. I can't do it. When somebody, now you do what you want to do with this. When somebody, I don't care if you don't like her, they say something about her, it's not natural for me to be, oh God. There's something in me that wants to have a come to Jesus meeting. 71 years young and still going like a house of fire, and some of you 50 years of age sitting on your blessed assurance talking about, well, she just thinks she does everything. Get off your hind end, we'll be glad to load you up. It frustrates me. And the Lord's like, you need grace. And I'm like, can you give it to me later? I know Army Rangers. I know Special Ops guys. I know how to make a speed bump out of... The Lord's like, mm-mm. You need grace. As a man, don't you feel like a wimp when inside you, you know you can take their stinking head off? And the Lord says, I know what that feels like. I made you. I can speak and bring star clusters into existence. I know what it's like to be reviled. You know what your problem is? Peacock. He don't call me David. He always calls me by my last name. He don't even call me preacher. Peacock. That's like calling a mule. I know what's coming. The 4x4 is fixing to knock me on my knees. That's just how he talks to me. Peacock, come here. Y'all do what you want with it, but when he calls, I come. You say, why? Because I know he's going to knock me in the head if I don't. Peacock, come here. Yes, sir. What do you think you need? I need revenge. Give me the sword of Dodo. Let me defend my pea pack. You better not let your wife hear you call her a pea patch, boy. You need grace. Because it's not natural. Or is it making any sense to you? You know what's going to happen during this meeting to come? You're going to have some people that are going to come in here. You know what I'm going to hear from some of you? Oh, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace. Give me grace. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Give me grace. Help me, Lord Jesus. Give me grace. You say, why? There's going to be some people that come in here. They're not like you. And you know what? They're not going to know that this is your regular seat. They're going to plop their big old behind right down where you normally sit. They're going to spread out. They're going to throw your blanket in the corner somewhere. Move your Bible out of the way so they can sit down and be arrogant about it. And you're going to walk up and go, I always sit there. The Lord's like, you need to better get some grace. You better get some grace. You say, what are you trying to show me? I'm trying to say, there's things that are not natural for us that God has to supernaturally enable you to be able to do. And praying for your enemies may not be one for you, but it sure is one for me. I was sitting around some preachers and they were talking, and they began to move about talking about somebody, and I had some information. And I wanted to be one of the boys. Now, I know you haven't never been that way. But I wanted to be one of the boys. And I wanted so bad to contribute my information to the discussion. Not because it would help the guy, but because it would let them know, hey, I'm with you. And sure as I'm standing here, you know what the Lord said? You better shut your mouth, boy. And I said, but Lord, I'm not telling you anything that's not true. He said, you better shut your mouth, boy. And they said, Brother Peacock, do you know the guy? And I said, yeah, I know him. And in my flesh, I'm like, oh boy, do I know him. Lord said, boy, you're about to be like a curl in a pig's tail. You ain't going to add no lard to the pig, boy. You better knock it off. And they said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't really know that it makes any difference. Pass the potatoes. Oh. Oh, you say, oh, you overcame it. Oh, no, that happens all the time. It don't just happen every now and then.
Yeah.
It's you have to learn that when somebody calls you on the phone, the Lord says to you, okay, you better keep your mouth shut on that one. I can't imagine how hard it must be. I intentionally went and looked at some of the comments that were made. Can you bear with me for just a few more minutes? That were made about the old preacher. He's been gone 5 years now. I know it's hard to believe it's been that long, but he's been gone 5 years. And I read back over some of the mean-spirited, I mean, just wicked things that were said. And I thought that must be difficult just for him. But imagine being his wife. And hearing that said about your husband. And knowing him as a wife knows him and knowing that none of it's true. And imagine how hard it would be when he says, leave it alone. Leave it alone. This is a yes or no question. It is not rhetorical. But I would like an answer. Would not the body of Christ be better if instead of always responding to every negative thing we hear about other people, that we simply prayed for the grace to keep our mouth shut than to put our 2 cents worth in? This is going to be a show of hands. Anybody in here as a Christian, since you've been saved, ever been hurt by something another Christian said? Anybody in here ever hurt someone by saying something? Me too. You say, what do you need, preacher? I need grace. You say, why? I'm not grown. I recognize what an immature baby is. I just say whatever comes to my mind. The Lord's like, you need grace? I'm like, Lord, I'm good. I got saving grace. The Lord said, that's the beginning. If you're going to walk with me, you have to learn. You got morons on your team. Be gracious. Because I got them on mine too. Be patient with people. I wonder if our church, let's forget the other churches, I wonder if our church might not grow exponentially faster if we were just more gracious. Graciousness doesn't mean compromise. Graciousness doesn't mean that you condone wrong behaviors and never say anything to your kids or someone else. We had that discussion in Sunday school this morning. Certainly you understand that I'm saying there is a time that is appropriate, but there is also a greater time where it is inappropriate for you to say what you know.
Amen.
To summarize, so-and-so's not in church. I guess they're out in the world. I guess they're putting something ahead of God. Here's what you just said. If they were like me and had God first. You say, that's not what I said. That's what people are hearing. You better listen to me. I'm almost done. I've only got 6 more points. Listen to me. This is hugely important. Your summation of what's going on in someone else's life is lacking a whole lot of information. You're basing whatever you're saying based on whether or not you see somebody 2, 3, 4 hours in here. You don't know what's going on outside in their household. They may have great curb appeal and look wonderful. You don't buy no house by how good it looks on the outside. It may be torty hell on the inside. Fixed up on the outside and a soup sandwich on the inside. And they struggle in here. Where have you been? This is why I don't come. Because when I do miss, I don't feel like I got to check in with you. You ain't my boss. You ain't paying my bills. I came looking for Jesus today. Would you get out of my way? People have a need today. And it's not to run down their life in front of you. It's to simply say, hey, I'd like to listen to the preacher this morning. And just see what God has to say to me. And I'm going to ask Him to give me grace so I can listen to Him because I don't like it when He yells. A lot of people don't. Preacher, that was good. Why you got to be so loud? I don't know. Ask God to give you grace. Or turn me down. But the question is not how loud I was. Did what I say resonate with you? Did you have the grace to receive it and say, you know what? You nailed it. I remember Joe Blissetti used to sit right here where Brother Brad is. And then he moved up here. Brother Brad said, you can't sit in my seat, boy. You sit down there. I'm kidding. Brad never said that. He just gave him the... But Brother Joe used to sit right here. And I'd get to preaching. One time I'm preaching on you, and I'd put that beer down, you know, and it's like messing around with horse urine, and you got to stop that drinking. He goes, bullseye! I said, what? He goes, bullseye, you got me! I'm guilty! I'm like, well, you don't have to let everybody know. He goes, well, you got me! I'll go along a little bit later. I'll talk about lying lips and stuff like that. Bullseye! I'm like, Joe. He's like, no, do you remember him? He's like, no, you got me. Grace to endure other people. I think a Christian, a lost person, are you willing to sacrifice for them to do without so they might have? You have a great opportunity to do that. Let me ask you this. Speaking of grace, when was the last time you had enough grace to have spiritual communion with somebody instead of carnal communion? I'm about to shed this jacket. I don't know about y'all, but it's hot. Anybody hot? God bless your heart. Bump it down a little bit more. He's fooling. He's got the fan running, trying to save money for the Jubilee. He likes to see the preacher sweat. I'm sweating under both arms right now. When was the last time you had the ability to turn a carnal conversation into a spiritual one? I've had people who got together, they're going to have a Bible study or have somebody over to dinner. We're going to look at the Bible and this and that and the other. It's not long before it is a slop jar full of what about her and what about him and what about this and what about that and I don't know about this and I don't know. And it's just all you're thinking, I'm going over here to have a little fellowship around Jesus and talk about the Lord and talk about the Bible and talk about Him coming again and all that. And before long, you're just having a carnal discussion. You just will be going to work or going out to lunch with somebody from work. When was the last time you had enough grace to go, hey, if that's where you guys are headed, count me out. Why is it that we'll gather for a carnal party at someone's house in the name of Jesus, but we don't ever talk about Jesus? Amen. The talk of a conversation is whatever the flavor of the month is. When was the last time that you just gathered around Him and talked about the Bible and prayer and real spiritual problems and not talk about someone else? Oftentimes, organized Bible studies or dinners are nothing but an opportunity to try to find out whose side you're on before the church splits. Amen. You say, how do you know? I've been doing this for 30 years, but I've been in church since 9 months before I was born. I've seen it happen in Southern Baptist churches, Independent Baptist churches, and other things. People, well-meaning, get you at the house, set a turkey down in front of you, and before long, they're testing out the waters. Now, did you hear what the preacher said the other day? Now, I don't know if I believe in this thing of salvation by grace through faith alone. And people in the Old Testament, they saved by grace too. I don't know where he comes up with this works thing. We're just discussing the Bible. They're fishing your pond. Before long, it's going to be, well, now, you know, the preacher, he's got them trustees. And, you know, I kind of think that ought to be brought before the whole body. And who is it, these three deacons? And before long, the conversation has gone from the spiritual to the carnal, and Now, the truth of the matter is the people have a problem. The reason that people followed Absalom was not because Absalom was a great leader. It was because they had a problem with David. And they used Absalom to try to get their position with David. I don't want to spend too long there. I just want to say to you, how's your spiritual communion with your friends? What do you talk about on Sunday afternoon for lunch? We went right down here to this place. I don't know the name of this. You've been down there. That's the fish house down here on the right-hand side right before you get to 295. Okay, St. Mary's. It's a seafood house, right? And so we went in there and we took some people with us. They were visiting missionaries. We took some people with us and we went down there. We had to wait and stand around and all that kind of stuff. This is long before the COVID deal and all. And so we stood around, we waited. It got to the point, it's kind of like, look, let's just go over here to Taco Bell or McDonald's or whatever it is. And then finally they called us. And we went and sat at a table over in a corner. There's a half a dozen of us. And we spread out in that table right there and we're sitting down. We'd had a pretty good service that day. Things had gone pretty well. And we were kind of riding a little bit high and excited about having some fellowship. And they were down from up in Virginia. And so we began to talk about the Lord in church, and there's these two old blue-haired biddies. I said it intentionally. Both of them didn't know when they had white hair, you don't use certain color on it because it turns it purple. And they're sitting over there, and before long, well, did you hear what the preacher said today? Yeah, I know. I don't know why he gets so wound up on stuff like that. And they went on and on and on. And so I got up. We began to walk out. And I probably shouldn't have done it this way. But I'm not like some of you. I'm not ashamed sometimes to say things. Sometimes I take a chance. And I said, excuse me, man, where do you go to church? And she said, why do you ask? I said, because I don't want to go there. She said, I beg your pardon. And I said, if I go there and y'all talk about me the way you talk about your preacher, I said, man, I don't like to be eating for dinner. Right. And the mule walked on. What a testimony. That we go to dinner in public. Did you see her coming in late? Did you see what they drove up in? Where was so-and-so today? Probably out catching a fish or something. Playing some stupid game. Well, you can't fish or play a game, or you'd be out there with them. I must have hit a nerve there. You're kind of like, that's why you talk about them, because you can't do it no more. But you did it when you were young. Oh, huzzy, come tramping in there. I bet if we ran the tape back, sister, and how you dressed when you went into work, I bet you dress sometimes to draw a little attention. I'm just guessing. You say, why? It's easy to see the sins in other. You're guilty of committing yourself. Let's hurry. Lord, I need grace to have spiritual communion. When's the last time you took a chance, stuck your neck out for the Lord? 2 Timothy chapter 4, hurry. There's a boy over there by the name of Demas. Now boys, this is going to be a little hard on you. I'm going to tell you this up front. There's a boy over here named Demas, and the Bible said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And here's what I know. I know that I know some men who are physically tough. I know that if I were to square off with you, that you'd whoop me. Physically, you'd whoop me. And you'll take a stand for politics. You'll take a stand for what you believe about sickness or a disease or a virus. You'll take a stand for or against the government. But if you had to take a stand for Jesus Christ and just hand somebody a tract, some of you big old bulls that could run through a wall, you'd faint. You'd rather please the world than to please God. I have a friend of mine who got put to the test not long ago. And in the process of the test, somebody questioned about what he does and where he goes to church and that kind of a thing. And you know what he said to the guy? What you think about it ain't going to change what I do and where I go. But I know some of you'd change. You say, why? You don't have the grace to endure the affliction. I wrote these things down about Demas. You may want to take them or not. I realize that suffering comes along on a regular basis, but sometimes you serve the idea that dominates you. If it's work, if it's prosperity, if it's money, if it's liberty, if it's freedom, sooner or later you begin to idolize it and you begin to work it. Number two, you will eventually fashion yourself after whatever your idol is. You'll eventually grow in that direction. Don't turn me off yet. I can already see the devil working on some of you. You say, well, so you're talking about walking it. You're talking about lifestyle evangelism. No, I'm not. I'm talking about a walk that matches the Bible. You need grace to be able to do that. Demas loved the present world. Eventually, some great truth or lie will bring you under its spell, and from then on, your decisions will be based on your loyalty to that truth or that lie. And the supreme affection will eventually determine all the decisions in your life. You done made up your mind. Don't confuse you with the facts. Paul said, Demas, who was with me? You know what he did? He loved the world. He deserted me. It didn't happen overnight. He started entertaining the idea. He just started getting a little bit more liberal. Broke away from being a little too conservative. Just started recognizing, I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. You got scripture for that? No, but. That's Demas. I love my theology. I love my programming. I love what I want to do. When was the last time you said, God, you need to give me grace in time of need? Just two more and we'll be done. When was the last time you asked for grace to encourage somebody in the Lord instead of discourage them? When the last time you told somebody, man, I'm sure I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you. Proud of you. Thanks for coming. When the last time you said, hey, how about we go get a hamburger? Let's talk about Jesus. When was the last time you asked God to give you grace to help a new convert? Not disciple. Not, you need a teacher so I'll be the one. No. Just encourage him. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? He said, when he says, forsake not assembling yourselves together even more so the sexual day, he said, therefore, you know what? He says you're to do, exhort one another. Encourage them. Hey, I'm going to church. You want to go? I said to Miss Pat, you going to be able to be here for the Jubilee? She said, I sure want to, preacher. She said, but I can't drive at night. She said, but if somebody could come get me. You know what she could have said? I can come in the morning. But you know what she wants to do? She wants to come at night. But you know what she's willing to say? I can't drive anymore. Could somebody come get me? Now she doesn't know it. That kind of like, peacocks don't fly very high. They just kind of get a couple of limbs up. But that kind of put me a couple of limbs up. I thought, man, what a blessing. She wants to be at church. She likes being at church. What a blessing. I'm living in a day and time now. You know what I hear people saying all the time? All the reasons why they can't come. Man, it's going to be rough in heaven. You say, what? Church every day. That's going to be hard, man. Some of you are going to have a hard time, man. Church every day. We got to go to church. The Lord's like, nah, you just come when you feel like it. That's what they do in the other place. You say, when do they go to church? They don't.
Right.
When's the last time you just encouraged somebody? It doesn't always involve money. Kids, I'm glad you're here. Some of you, you're struggling just to be here. I don't expect you to pay attention all the time. I know you draw pictures. You give them to me. You know what you're saying to me? I wasn't listening to you, but I drew you a picture. I got a drawer full of them. I like them. I'm like, this is the sermon. Really? That's the sermon? Yeah, you just can't see it. I know what they're really drawing. They're really listening to me. But I'm so glad you're here.
Amen.
Man, I'm glad with every problem that you could possibly bring with you, I'm glad you're here. I like it. Preacher, do you ever get tired of it? No. But what about all the trouble? Hallelujah! We ain't all fixed yet. You still need me.
Amen.
The well don't need a physician.
Right. That's right.
So I figure you still got something ain't right with you. So the Lord said, give them some more. Give them some more. Give them some more. I don't expect perfection. You say, why? Because I know where I'm at. We're talking about grace and I'm going to close. When was the last time you asked God for the grace to be conformed to His image?
Amen.
Brother Mitch, can I tell you how that goes? Here's what people think it is to be conformed to His image. Well, I never did that. Well, I never went there. Well, I never had no youngin' out of wedlock. You mean you just didn't get caught. You're not testifying of your chastity, are you, ma'am? Oops, did he dare? Oh, no, he didn't. It ain't just the men that are dogs. You're supposed to live to be 40. And the dog said, I'll give you 10 years. And the horse said, I'll give you 10 years. And the monkey said, I'll give you 10 years. So you spend 10 years working like a dog. And you spend 10 years sweating like a horse. And then you spend the last 10 years monkeying around doing nothing. When was the last time you said, Lord, could you give me the grace to be more like you? I had to go to the Lord on more than one occasion. This is one of the questions, as a matter of fact, that came in. But I've had to go to the Lord more than one occasion. And I've had to say, Lord, I like to say I messed up. He likes to hear us end. Right? He's like, you did what? Well, I messed up. You did what? Well, you know, I made an error. He's like, what? I sinned. Okay, good. Now, what do you want to talk about? I sure am sorry, Lord. Sure would like to get back in fellowship with you. And recognize I love myself more than I loved you. I need grace. Would you have grace on me in a time of need, Lord? I need you. Not one time has He ever said to me no. I want to be like Jesus. And somebody comes and said, will you forgive me? I'd like to bat 1,000 right there. And sometimes that rub is there, right? And instead of forgiving and letting God handle it, you harbor bitterness against the individual. You make a platform for the devil, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And before long, you do great on everything else until that one person is brought up. And all of a sudden, oh, man, if I had a fork, I'd stick it in their eye right now. The Lord's like, you know what you need? That's indication. That's a symptom. You need grace. You need grace. You don't need to, Lord, teach me how to forgive them. No, 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 no. You need grace. You need grace. We're to come boldly before the throne, not ask for a new car, not ask for help, not ask for a well child. We're to come boldly, you know what to ask for? Lord, give me grace that I may obtain mercy. And I might be able to dispense the same mercy to them that You've given to me. But when was the last time you ask for grace? God, help us to mature, to be able to tolerate each other. Because God gives us the grace to be able to give Him the glory. How do you folks get along? God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, for a moment, please, on the piano. If God spoke to you this morning and you feel like maybe you could use a help and a grace, I know we're a little bit late, but not bad. But would you at least maybe take the time, something just real soft, just a hymn on the piano, please. And if God spoke to you, could you just say, Lord, I just need grace. It doesn't have to be long-term and definitive. Just, Lord, I need grace. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what the problem is. He knows if it's a sickness or a disease or if it's anger or if it's frustration. He knows if it's fear or anxiety. He knows if it's bitterness or if it's anger or it's wrath. Even if it's just, He knows what the problem is and He has plenty of grace. But you got to ask. Don't be afraid to ask boldly, God, please. Give me grace. As He plays, those have already come. And God spoke to you. Many are down at their pews. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're almost done with the service. There is a manifold blessing that awaits you if you just ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Because when you ask that you may consume it upon your own lust. Lord, give me grace that I might be conformed to your image. God spoke, you come. I'll give you a few moments to pray.